Father, as we come before you today, we acknowledge that you have all power and you have all authority. And it is proper that each of us in our walk would be totally surrendered to you, totally surrendered to your will, totally surrendered to your way, totally surrendered to your desire. And anything less than that, we will not experience the full blessings that you have for us, that you desire for us, that you long to pour out on us. And neither will we be used of you as fully as we might have been in the absence of that. So today, Lord, whether we have served you through your Son for a long time or for a very short time, I just pray today that you will remind us that, at least to some degree, this issue of surrender, sometimes it's kind of a once-for-all thing, but many times it is incremental, or many times almost a daily thing. But that the more yielded we are to you, that the more you can work in us and through us, the more your light can shine through us, and the more your life can be revealed in us. So if this will enhance what you do in us, then it is something we desire. So, Lord, today we come, and though we might say, I'm not there yet, certainly there's an area, some work to do, some things to improve on, but, Lord, that would be our desire, and that is certainly the direction in which we would desire to be moving in our walk and in our relationship with you, and that progress would be being made. Now take your word, we pray. Only by your word and only by your Spirit are these things possible, either to understand them or later to do them. And we pray for both with the aid of your Spirit and in the name of your Holy Son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
How many have attended church, at least some, since you were young? How many have attended this church, at least some, since you were young? Then if you have, I imagine that you have heard or even sung yourself in this church a song called I Surrender All. How many know that song? We haven't sung it in a while, have we? I don't know that we're going to sing it today. But that song was a staple when I was coming up, you know, as a teenager and stuff like that. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. And that was also a topic that you heard a lot in those days, a lot more maybe than today. The idea of consecration, that it wasn't, now, don't get me, I don't mean not enough for salvation, but in the big picture, in order to really be pleasing to the Lord, it isn't enough just to be able to say, I'm saved. It isn't enough just to be able to say, I'm in church every week. It isn't enough to be able to say, well, I'm in the choir, or I teach Sunday school, or I'm on the deacon board, or on the missions committee, or a member of the board of trustees. That isn't enough. If in our daily walk we aren't truly surrendered to the Lord, both in the large things and the small things, then our lives are lacking something in the area of our walk with the Lord. And I don't know about anybody else, but would you say that it might be true that sometimes it's actually harder for us. We find it, for some reason, more difficult to surrender in what we think are the small things than in the big things. But the thing is, when it comes to obedience and our walk with the Lord, there are no small things. Everything must be yielded to Him. Everything must be given over to Him. And that is part of the bargain that we strike, if you want to call it that, when we accept His free gift of salvation. That is absolutely free. But His grace is to transform us, And through that grace, there's something called lordship, and he becomes the Lord of my life. So he saves me by his grace in order that I might be brought into his kingdom, in order that I might be made his child, and in order that from that point on, I just read it again, I think in the last day or two, that I would no longer live for myself, but from henceforth I live for the one who bought me. And he did buy me. How did he buy us? By his blood. Through all that suffering on that cross. So I really do belong to him. And so if I really do belong to him, then it follows that the right type of relationship to him day by day is one of constant surrender. And even with children, you know, sometimes we can have a child. We love the child very much, but a child can be very rebellious. A child can be very disobedient. They don't stop being a child, but they're disobedient. And there's a whole lot of conflict and a whole lot of heartache that very often comes about because of that. Now, out in the world, we're constantly told today, and you can go to any of the motivational things you want to go to. You can be anything you want to be. You just choose. You just set your mind. I mean, the sky is the limit. You know, the only limitation is in what you can imagine. And if you dream big, and if you work really hard, you can achieve almost anything you want to achieve. And that is true. But that's not how it works in the kingdom of faith. In the kingdom of faith, before usefulness can happen, before something can be achieved, there's something else that has to happen first, and that thing is called surrender. And until that surrender, where my body, mind, soul, and spirit is surrendered and yielded to the Lord, not only to receive his gift of salvation, but to go anywhere he would send me, do anything he tells me to do, say anything he would direct me to say, forsake anything he would tell me to forsake, even if I don't see the point of it, because he knows that for some reason that's going to hamper me or harm me or whatever. That's got to happen before I can take step one in actually obeying him. And in this kingdom, it isn't about what I can do and it isn't about what I can achieve, but it is about what he can achieve through me. But if he's going to achieve anything through me, I've got to be yielded. Can I hear an amen? I hadn't asked that in a while. So let's just talk about it for a few minutes here. We have the thing today for those who like to fill in the blanks. And I'll tell you what, if you love to fill in blanks, you're going to be happy today. I hope your pen has plenty of ink or that your pencil has a good point on it. All right, a few observations here. Number one, the purpose of surrender is that we might be yielded vessels. Every single person that God has ever used in a great way in either the Old or the New Testament was someone who was a yielded vessel. Old Jonah wasn't exactly what you would call a yielded vessel until after he had spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, and even then, he might not have been quite as yielded as he ought to be. But I can tell you right now, Jonah's life isn't the life I want to pattern my life after. But the people that God uses in a great way, now think of Jesus. What about surrender? Jesus was already surrendered from the minute he took life. He was already surrendered. He never had to surrender. He was already surrendered, and he stayed surrendered his whole life. Like us. Which is exactly why. And his biggest combat, we know where it was. It was in the garden. This is where he is sweating And the veins are popping out, and he's sweating, and blood is oozing through from the stress and mixing with the sweat, and it's falling to the ground as large drops of blood. And he's saying, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, please allow it to pass from me. Nevertheless, and that's what makes it a legitimate prayer. Nevertheless, what did he say? Not. Does not mean not. The circle with the line through it. Not my will, but thine be done. And he went through with it because it was the Father's will. And he did so willingly. That was as human, inhuman. That was his greatest point of surrender. He could have rebelled right then and right there. But he didn't. And because he was surrendered and because he stayed correct surrendered, he was able to effect salvation for every single one of us. So the purpose of surrender, oh, I just had this wonderful religious experience. I surrendered totally to the Lord. And now I feel so happy and so free. Is that what that's about? No. It's that we might be yielded vessels. And a yielded vessel is a vessel the Lord can use. Can I hear an amen? A yielded vessel. How many want to be a yielded vessel? But think carefully before you really answer that. Number two, surrender is the first step to usefulness. Now, I speak in terms of the kingdom. You say, oh, well, I already do a whole bunch of stuff around the church. That doesn't necessarily mean you're useful in the Lord's eyes. Because if it's not being done the way the Lord wants it done, if it's not being done with the attitude the Lord wants it done with, or if there's any selfish motives mixed in the mix, you follow what we're talking about. So surrender is the first step toward usefulness. It's not in the middle. It's not next to the last. It is the first step toward usefulness because a yielded vessel is a vessel that the Lord can use. And to whatever degree it isn't, he can't use it. Surrender is the first step to usefulness because without it, our pursuits, that's you, that's me, that's any of us, Christian, it doesn't matter, will be at odds with God's plan and purpose. You say, well, I'm not aware of anything. You know, well, then reaffirm your yieldingness to the Lord. Reaffirm it. And say, Lord, I'm not aware of anything, but I just want you to know. I'm coming. I'm yielding right now to whatever you would have for me today, in the next 10 minutes, in the next half hour, in the next 3 hours, during my waking days today, and each and every day. Lord, I'm yielded to you. Because without that, our own pursuits will invariably be at odds in some way with the plan and the purpose of God. How many have ever read, oh, I go back to that one over and over and over and over and over. My way, your ways are not my ways, neither. My ways are not your ways, neither. Anyway, you know that one. I can never remember which is first. But your ways aren't my ways. My ways aren't your ways, and your thoughts aren't my thoughts. I think that's how it is. Anyway, they don't match. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so much higher are my thoughts and your thoughts and my ways and your ways. How many have read that? How many believe that? If we really believe that, we shouldn't have too much trouble surrendering. He knows best. Does what he wants always match what we want? No. In fact, many times, I think it's almost exactly counter what we want. Now, why would that be? But step one, because otherwise one, Lord Jesus. He has already surrendered. I come to do your will, O God. It is written in the scroll of the day. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Now, most of the newer translations say, my ears you have opened. But the King James says, my ears you have pierced. And that Hebrew word kaval can mean dig, just like dig a well or dig a hole or dig anything. But it can also mean pierce. And it is the word that is used in Psalm 22, a messianic psalm, where it says, they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. There is no doubt in that verse that it means pierced. I personally, it's neither here nor there in any big way, but I believe that my ear you have pierced, because in the book of Deuteronomy, every 7 years, if you had a Hebrew servant, then in the seventh year you had to let him go free. Every seventh year you had to let him go free. You couldn't just keep him forever and ever. But if he said, I love my master, I don't want to go anywhere else, I don't want to do anything else, I don't want to be anywhere else, I want to be this master servant for life, then the owner, not the owner, but the master would take him over to the door frame. He had put his ear up against the door frame. He had taken all and make a hole in his ear, and he would be a willing servant voluntarily for life. And the Messiah says, not you have pierced my ear, you have pierced my ears. I am totally devoted to your will and your will only. Number three, now we'll get down to some of the practical. I think we know this one. Our surrender patterns often are not uniform. Lord, I can give you my money, but I have a little trouble giving to my children or my mate. Lord, I can give you my children or my mate, but I have a little trouble giving you my job. I can give that up, but I'm not sure I can give that one TV show up. We could just go down the list. Lord, I'm surrendered to you over here, but this over here, this is kind of off limits. I figure if I give you this, then it's only fair that I get to decide what happens with this. Now, we won't say that, but we do believe that. And that's how we live, consequently. And that's why there are areas, I tell you what, there's always one area. You know, the doctor starts poking around. Nope, does that hurt? Nope, does that hurt? Oh! He hit the soft spot! He hit the tender spot! If the Lord was poking around on you this morning, where would it hurt? If he said, it's time to give this up because I have something greater for you. Number four, surrender must be intentional. The Lord is not interested in our outer conformity. We have enough outer conformity in the world to, I don't know what you could do with it. Outer conformity, it avoids conflict. It lets us pretend that we're doing right. But surrender must be intentional. Number five. Now, I think this one is really key, folks. I really do. Surrender is made possible. Now, what I mean is real surrender, the kind we're talking about, the real deal. Surrender is made possible by a mature love for the Lord that puts His will and purpose ahead of our own preferences. And so many times, that really is what it comes down to in the end. We can send Valentine's cards, and bouquets, and all that stuff on Valentine's Day, I love you. But the greatest act of love may not be that. It may be giving up something for the sake of our mate, or our child, or our friend, or doing something for them that involves great personal inconvenience or sacrifice. So, a mature love will go there. An immature love will just keep sending the flowers and the Valentines. Sometimes I think coming to church, kind of like the day we bring the Lord our Valentines. But the true meaning is, even if it's at great personal cost, Lord, for you, it'll be easy. And if that kind of love exists, how many know that the inconvenience, the difficulty, or whatever it is, or something, is greatly diminished by how strong the love is? You ever notice that? You go way out of your way for somebody you really, really love, and it's like it was nothing, and you really feel that way. That's the way it ought to be. And that's when true surrender starts becoming a reality. Number six, being surrendered is really about being available. Available for what? Available for whatever the Lord wants to do with you, because that's what it's about. Okay, Lord, I'm available. The Apostle Paul meets the one he's been persecuting on the Damascus Road, is struck down by the light. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Paul's question, Lord, what do you want me to do? That day, the Apostle Paul surrendered to Jesus Christ. He didn't know him well yet. He would get to know him very well, and he would become maybe the greatest proponent of the gospel that the world has ever known, driven only by love and by a desire for people to be saved. And yes, at great inconvenience and at great personal cost and all that, but that day he surrendered and he became available. And Jesus said, now go into Damascus and wait for further instructions. And those instructions came and became a lifetime pursuit. See, surrender, as we said, is step one. But the surrender is to get us into a position where the Lord can then use us. It's not an end unto itself. If you just keep walking around saying, I'm surrendered, I'm surrendered, I'm surrendered, there's no particular value in that of itself. The surrender is, okay, now, the Lord says, now that you're surrendered, now that I've got your attention, here is what I want you to do. And he will begin to direct you. He will begin to give you instructions, but he has to get you there before you'll listen. And he has to get you there before you're really available. And then he'll begin to direct you, and he'll begin kids talking to each other until they stop talking and get quiet. They're not listening. Oh, by the way, that applies to adults too. The It's about being available. Number seven, to some extent, surrender is a daily exercise. Now, there's, sometimes a big, big watershed moment in our lives, like with Paul, where he surrendered, that day. And that was a big, big, there's that. But every day when we get up in the morning, there are always things that can come along where we're like, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I had these other plans. And I'll tell you what, nothing gets any of us more out of joint than having what little plans we had messed up in some way. Can I hear an amen on that? I mean, wow. But it each day anew. Offer yourselves a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. And it's a daily thing because it's a living sacrifice. And every day is different. Every day is going to have its own challenges. Every day is going to, not every day, but a lot of days are going to bring unexpected stuff. And that's when we'll know if we're surrendered. What happens when there really isn't surrender? Well, there's conflict in our hearts. There's a little bit of guilt that we push down every now and then. Sometimes there's a little overcompensation. Well, I'm going to show the Lord big obedience over here. And maybe he won't, maybe he'll leave me alone on this over here that I don't want to talk about. And we could go on and on here. But peace doesn't come, and you all know this, until the surrender comes. So it may be hours, it may be days, it may be weeks, it may be months, and in some cases, it may be years for some people in certain things. But the real peace doesn't come until there's that surrender. And when that surrender happens, isn't it amazing? The conflict goes away. We're at peace. We have a joy and a peace in our heart that surpasses understanding. Nothing has changed in our external situation, but oh, everything has changed on the inside. And that makes everything different. Have we ever said, any of us, to the Lord, Lord, I want to be used by you? I know I've said that to him on occasion. Here it is, number eight. Do you really want to be used to the max? Number eight, maximum usefulness. Usefulness is the word there. Maximum usefulness. To the Lord now. To the Lord. To the Lord is achieved when, A, we surrender fully. B, we listen intently. Because the surrender is the springboard to action. And between the surrender and the action is the listening. As Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There used to be a lady down in Miami in the early 60s. She was a nurse. She was a believer. She rode the buses to work and back. And she had these little plaques she had made, black with white, bold lettering, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And she gave them out to people. And we had one, and we had it hanging in our little 13-foot travel trailer parked on the Tamiami Trail just north of town. We listen intently. C, we trust God's timing. Ooh, kind of hard. in parentheses, often involves waiting. Man, do we hate that. Okay, Lord, I'm surrendered, so would you get on with it, please? Oh. Sometimes we have to be quiet before the Lord for a while. D, we are open to direction. And E, we are willing and ready to act. We're not going to go out and act on our own, but we are willing and ready to act if and when the Lord issues that directive. Number 9, a surrendered vessel equipped by the Lord, and that's key, a surrendered vessel equipped by the Lord and fully given to his purpose will be used of God to accomplish things that men thought impossible. I could go down the list. There's no way to even, just men like Hudson Taylor. Some of you have heard of him, great missionary. C.T. Studd. Name might be known to some of you. D.L. Moody didn't even quite have a high school education and never was an ordained minister. Did you know that? So God said, sorry, D.L., until you get that bachelor's and this and that and this master's and this other, I can't use you. No, we know. Because you see, D.L. Moody had one thing a lot of people don't have, that have a lot more training than he had. He was a yielding vessel. And you can name them. Name any of them. And God will do what men thought impossible. A long time ago, I think it was in the 70s, Debbie Boone. How many know that name? How many know the name Pat Boone, Mr. White Shoes? One of his daughters, just one. He has a bunch of them. But Debbie, she made a song very popular called You Light Up My Life. How many ever heard that one? Here's a song by her. Maybe you've heard or you haven't. But it's one of my favorites. Would you play that for us?
Like a song in the wind, Lord, you call me. Surrender.
We pray. Father, you know our hearts. You know that we profess to love you. You know that we profess to follow you. But so many times we resist your overtures in certain parts of our lives and never do really understand what we've missed because we didn't give in when you said to. But Lord, you love us. You love us anyway, and you bring us along. And you use us to whatever degree we are surrendered. And then maybe another day, we'll surrender more fully in some other areas. But we do know that there's no sweeter place to be than that. Surrendered to you, knowing that nothing was held back, knowing that whatever that word might be, it would be our pleasure to do it just because you said it. And that's the place that we pray we might all come to as believers and as a church body. And Lord, we know one thing. We know you will work through a surrendered body. So Lord, we come today. We offer ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you again. Maybe, perhaps almost as even the first time. And say, Lord, whatever, I've known you as my Savior, and I've known you as my Lord, at least verbally. But Lord, I really do want to know you as Lord, and I really do want to be at all times surrendered to your will. That's the place of happiness. That's the place of fulfillment. That's the place of usefulness. And yes, it is the place of greatest peace and joy. We thank you now. Take your word and use it in our hearts. And in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name.